This morning to Matthew chapter 16. We continue our study of Matthew. And we're spending some time in Matthew chapter 16 because it's one of the important passages in our Lord's teaching while he was here on earth. It speaks of the truth that only God can reveal himself to the human heart. Speaks of the foundation and rock on which the church is built. And our Lord gives in this chapter what is called Christian discipleship, what it means to follow him or to come after him. It's one of the important passages of the New Testament. So think of these things as we read this passage this morning, verse 13 and following. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, and the Gospel of Mark includes the multitudes present, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he did not leave us ignorant of his words and teaching, but through the disciples preserved for us what he said and what he did. We ask that you would help us to understand that these words were actually said 2,000 years ago by our Lord Jesus Christ when he walked upon this earth, and they are still true. And so we ask that you would help us to build our lives on truth, not opinions or feelings, but truth. Thy word is truth. And we ask that you would help us to understand this passage today and to build our lives upon this true truth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In this passage, we found last week that Peter did not want Jesus to go to the cross and die. And that appears commendable on the surface, that he did not want his Lord to suffer unnecessarily or wrongly because he believed he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized, though, that if Jesus had to die, though he was innocent, there was a possibility that Peter himself would have to suffer for following God's will. And so when Peter suggested that Jesus should not die, actually rebuked the Lord and told him he should not go to Jerusalem and die, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest but man's." Peter was interested in the things of man, in his own safety, his own comfort. There was something in the cross that was offensive to Peter's own interest. And Jesus detected that in Peter's mind. There was something he understood about the implications of crucifixion, innocent suffering upon his own life. And so the Lord understood Peter's problem and explained the real issue. And he said to Peter, the disciples, and the multitudes present, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He wanted Peter to understand. This was what Peter saw in the cross. And self-interest caused him to rebuke Jesus. He understood the demands of the cross. In his mind's eye, he pictured Jesus being crucified, nailed to a tree, the ultimate end of obeying God. And he saw a picture of himself there as well. And that was not the Christianity that he wanted. There is, in this passage, in this verse, Jesus' clear teaching that this is not a second step Christianity. If anyone would come after me, anyone would come after me, would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, as Luke adds, and follow me. The gospel is to go and make disciples of all the nations. And that means to make people who deny themselves take up their cross daily and follow Jesus, who come after him. It's not talking about baptisms or rededications or walking an aisle or even joining a church. It's talking about a self-denial, a taking the cross as your destiny, and a following of Jesus Christ into the world. And it is for everyone. Disciples of Jesus do this. In their thoughts and words and deeds, in their work and home and school, they seek to deny themselves, to take up the cross daily and follow him. They are not perfect and cannot be perfect in this life, but it is the settled determination of their heart to go after Christ, to follow him into the world. And if he says that it is necessary to deny yourself, to take up the cross and follow him, then that's what they seek to do and want to do. Having gained a picture of his crucifixion in the scriptures, the suffering and agony that he went through upon the cross to purchase them from their sins, to purchase eternal life for them. It is a little thing to them, a little thing to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow him. having fallen in love with one who loved them first, without any worthiness in themselves, having been captured by the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the compassion of God toward their soul, they understand that it is not too much for Him to say to them, "You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You are not your own any longer, you are mine. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This is the entrance way to Christianity. What does it mean to deny yourself? What is self-denial first, and what are the implications of it in our life? We're just going to deal with that one little word this morning. I believe there is much misunderstanding as to what self-denial is. But Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself." And it means once for all. It means that this is a break. I am denying myself at this point and now in the future, for all time. Once I did not deny myself, now I am denying myself and will live henceforth in this manner. That's what this means in the text. Self-denial is that first attitude of the heart that enables us to take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. It is the first word of becoming a Christian. It is what is meant by the word repent. To turn away from self to God and with His help to follow Him. To repent and to believe the gospel is to deny yourself. Most of the time, because of the culture we live in and the religious teachings that many of us have had, look upon self-denial as denying ourselves things and pleasures in this life. And so when we hear the word self-denial, we think, this is a Christianity where we can't have any fun, or we cannot do anything pleasurable or enjoyable. This is a Christianity where we deny ourselves things, like during Lent, and we decide not to eat a certain food or do a certain thing so that we can somehow cleanse ourselves before God. This is not biblical self-denial. It has nothing to do with it. Self-denial, as Jesus teaches it, is something wholly different. If I were to try to define self-denial, it would be by the use of an illustration. Our Lord Jesus Christ was standing before the priest and the leaders of the Jews. He was being tried. And they were bringing up false witnesses against him, saying, "This man blasphemed." But none of the witnesses' story could hold together. And as he was being tried for blasphemy by the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, Peter was out in the courtyard of Caiaphas' house, the high priest that year, and he was gathered around a fire. And there were some people seated around that fire, and a young girl looked over at Peter across the fire, and she said, "I know you. You're one of his." And Peter said, "I know not that man." "No, you are one of his. You're one of his disciples. I told you, I am not one of his." "Yes, you are. I have seen you." "Blankety blank blank, I am not one of his." Peter denied Christ three times. He denied knowing Jesus. He denied loving Jesus. He would not identify himself with Jesus, nor come to the rescue of Jesus. He denied him. Self-denial means that we're to betray ourselves. We're to look at our own self and our own will and deny knowing ourselves, deny loving ourselves. We're to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I know not the man. No longer do I live for this man. He is not my master anymore. I am not his follower anymore. I am denying myself. No longer will I come to the rescue of myself. No longer will I help myself. When Jesus said to Peter, you must deny yourself, Peter did not clearly understand that he would learn what self-denial is in a very difficult lesson one day. But now, because of what Peter did, we know what it means. Peter denied Christ in the courtyard because he had a greater fear of others. He sought comfort from others. He wanted his freedom. He would not be crucified with this man. In Luke chapter 12, verse 4, we have this account. Jesus said to his disciples, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. See, Peter was afraid of that. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You're of more value than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Every day we live, we either confess Christ before men or we deny him before men. Those of you who sit here this morning, in all love, if you have not confessed Christ as your Savior and Lord of your life before men, you have denied him before men. This one who was crucified, this one who took upon himself our sins, who was so good and kind in his heart that he loved us beyond ourselves and willingly gave up his own comforts, his own reputation, to suffer and to die for the likes of us. Everyone who confesses him not denies him before men every day. He doesn't deserve that. He who stretched out his great arms and said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The one who comes to me, I will not cast you out. He doesn't deserve denial. He is too good. He is too true. He is too merciful and kind to be treated in such a way. But he has said, if you do not confess me before men, then you have denied me before men. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you in heaven. And many will stand before him on that last day who say, now I confess him. And he says, I deny knowing you. This denial is a very important thing to understand. Jesus Christ did not deny us upon the cross. He came and he said, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I came to take away the sins of the world. In public, he took upon himself the curse that is due to our sins. He did not deny our shame and our guilt, but took it upon himself. And before the world, above the ground, was crucified as a spectacle of humiliation for our sins, because he would not deny us. He loved us unto death, even the death of the cross. He was not ashamed of us. And he calls us to not be ashamed of him. What moved Peter to deny Christ? Self-interest, self-comfort, self-will, the pleasing of self. Instead of betraying himself, he betrayed Christ. And he missed one of the greatest opportunities a disciple of Christ has ever had in the history of the world, perhaps the greatest. To stand up by the fire and say, yes, I know him, and I'm going over there to stand by him, and if he is crucified for me, I shall be crucified with him, that my God may not be alone in his death for me. He had that opportunity to confess Christ to the world, to be there with the thieves upon the cross saying, he is my God, he is dying for me, and I love him. But Peter cared more about what others thought of him. He cared more about his own safety and comfort. And instead of denying himself, he denied Christ. What Jesus is teaching us here is there is nothing worth keeping or holding on to in this life if it leads you to deny him and place self and comfort above him, to disobey one of his commands because you judge it to be too harsh or too hard or too difficult. Jesus said, he that wishes to save his life, to protect himself, to live in the comfort zone, to do it his way, he that wishes to save his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake, who is willing to deny himself, to say no to self and yes to Christ, he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. He shall find eternal life. He shall find the forgiveness of sins, the presence of Christ, and the love of God. What more is there that lasts? For what will a man be profited, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? In Matthew 19, Jesus faced a young man who was rich and young and a ruler of Israel, and he came to him and he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Honor your father and mother. And come after me and be my disciple. Sell all that you have. Jesus called that rich young ruler to deny himself. He said, "I've kept the commandments," Jesus said. "Well, then sell all that you have and follow me." The thing that is not told in the passage is that the young man was breaking the commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." His possessions was his life. His wealth was his comfort and security. His position as a ruler of Israel was what he thrived on, lived for, the respect of men. Jesus said, "You have got to give that up if you wish eternal life from me." The Bible records that the young man went away very sad, for he had much possessions. He was unwilling to let go of his possessions as his God and comfort, to make him happy and secure each day, and simply to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, "Thy will be done. I will follow you. I am yours. You are mine." He was unwilling to deny himself, to say no to self. Jesus does not ask every one of us to sell our possessions and give the money to the poor and follow him. But he does ask us to sell whatever is our God. Whatever it is we're holding on to for comfort, for happiness, for security, what we depend upon, what we want, has to be placed at the feet of Jesus with these words, "Thy will be done in my life." This is not work salvation. This is repentance. It doesn't mean the young man had to do everything perfectly from then on in order to get forgiveness and go to heaven. It meant he had to make a break with self. He had to deny himself and betray himself and say, "I no longer know the man. I no longer live upon these things," and turn and follow Jesus. But he was unwilling. What is holding you back from following Christ? Afraid people will laugh at you? They scoffed at Jesus as he was lifted up on the tree. Are you afraid they'll ridicule you? "Come down from the cross, you Son of God," if that's who you really are. Be afraid they'll use you and betray you? Our Lord was betrayed with a kiss of one of his best friends. Are you afraid you will suffer? Well, so did he, to the point of shedding blood upon a cross in his striving against sin. You have not yet suffered to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. What is it that you're ashamed of in becoming a Christian or following Christ or obeying him? What commandment is it that gives you trouble that you simply are unwilling to do? What sin is it that you're unwilling to give up? What is it that you say to yourself, "This is just too much. That commandment is too hard. I'm doing okay in other areas. No one suspects a problem here. Isn't there even one thing I can keep to myself?" Our Lord answered that question in Matthew 6. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't have two gods. You will hate the one and despise the other. Hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve self and God. You cannot have your own way and God's way. You cannot have yourself and God as ruler of your life. That's what Christianity is. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him betray himself. I do not know the man any longer. Self-denial is the first word of being a Christian. We saw Paul's life of self-denial in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now he said, I die that you might live. I no longer have my own life. It is not mine to have. It is Christ to have. If he wishes me to be stoned and beaten for his glory and your good, that's his will, and I accept it. If he wishes me to be ridiculed before the world, I will, for he was ridiculed for me. If he wishes me to suffer to the point of death, I will do that, for that is how far he went to me. Anything he asked me to do in the land of the living is not too much. This same Peter missed the cross because he denied Christ and would not deny himself. But he learned his lesson. And after the crucifixion, and after the resurrection, when he saw the Lord, we see a different Peter. We see one who stood in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and became the speaker for Christianity to the world, knowing that just as Jesus was crucified 40 days earlier, 50 days earlier, so he may be crucified on that day. We see Peter and John flogged in the book of Acts and told to not speak of Christ anymore. They said, we must obey God rather than man.